along to this week's assist brought to you by Free Super Tips. I'm Warren Ashurst, back in the hot seat this week alongside our regulars Mark Langdon and Dan Charles to have a look at the action that we can look forward to this weekend. And of course, it is FA Cup and EFL that takes centre stage. We'll have a look in more detail, of course, at that in a moment. But it's been another busy midweek of Premier League action, which has had an impact, of course, at both ends of the table. Mark, let's start off by looking at the title battle. Lazily, I could just say to you, is it over? But at the
I thought you could call it a title race there.
I stopped myself. But, I mean, let's just look at what's kind of gone on over the last week or so, because, Arsenal in particular, people will point to the fact they've not scored a goal in the last two games, and ultimately that not buying a striker is going to cost them.
I think, the injuries a part of the game, but they've kind of happened in the same area that have hurt them, but they're not the only team that have suffered from them. But losing Saka, Havertz, Gabriel Jesus is unfortunate set of circumstances for Arsenal. I don't think they've coped with it very well. I don't think that they necessarily cope with adversity very well at the best of times, actually. I think that is a bit of a problem for them. Mourinho got the goals against Leicester, but I don't think he should be the kind of default option. I think he should be the last 10 minutes, try something else. And, Trossard has played centre forward previously. I know he didn't have an amazing game. When was it against Leicester? They sort of tried it for a while. But, he still is the best person for that job. In isolation, a point at Nottingham Forest is not a disastrous result. I mean, Liverpool found it difficult, didn't they, at the City Ground only a few weeks ago. It's been the other results, and particularly the West Ham performance, because I was speaking to somebody who was at the Emirates last week and just said, the whole performance was just incredibly flat. It was turgid, it was boring, it was possession without penetration. There wasn't much noise from the crowd. It just sort of was quite a defeatist kind of environment, really, set off by the players, and that the crowd sort of, I was going to say responded, but kind of didn't respond. And it was just this game that was played out in sort of the sunshine at sort of half pace, which is not really what you want when you're going for a title. But you called it a title battle, but as the betting suggests now, it's virtually all over. Liverpool look like they're going to stroll towards the title. It's more just a case of when they do it rather than if they do it.
Yeah, I think it's third or fourth last game of the season, Dan, where Liverpool are set to play Arsenal at Anfield. Are we expecting it might be over by then?
I think so, yeah. And I think, I know he said before the Forest game, and when you're asked if about conceding, it's understandable as a manager, Arteta saying over my dead body, but I think realistically now, he's got to be looking at the Champions League games now, and they're going to be a priority for him. They're not going to win the Premier League, but they've got a reasonable draw, haven't they, in the next round of the Champions League, and every chance to make a fist of that. And if they can get through that tie, then you've got potential of players like Saka maybe coming back after the international break. I think with the title race, they need to stay in touch until some of these players, certainly Saka, got back, and they've not managed to do that. So I think it's gone now, definitely.
Dan, what do you think of Odegaard's performances sort of since he come back from injury? I don't think he's playing to the same levels that he was sort of last season, when people were saying he was maybe the best player in the league.
No, not been to the level. I mean, you do expect when others are missing, big players to then step up and do more. And if anything, it's gone the other way. They understand he's not got the targets to hit, with his passing. But he's certainly not taking that extra responsibility that Arsenal might have wanted.
We need to, I suppose, give Liverpool credit as well, guys, because they've continued to grind outs on some occasions and also emphatically pick up results as well along the way. 2-0 against Newcastle was a pretty standard performance, Mark, but again, another clean sheet to add to the one that they got at City.
Yeah, a boost obviously before the game there with no Isak in the Newcastle lineup. I did wonder whether Eddie Howe was thinking of easier points and easier targets to be had, and just how injured was Isak. I'm sure if he had this, was it a minor groin problem? I'm sure if he's got that in the cup final in a couple of weeks, he would have played. So it was maybe a nice opponent for Liverpool to take on. But I just think that with Liverpool, just making no mistakes, or very few mistakes anyway, none might be pushing it, but you know, they're almost faultless defensively.
Yeah.
They don't like to give away sort of risky possession. They're very cautious with their passing. It's completely different, really, from how Jurgen Klopp likes to go about his business, and they were gung-ho and, you know, they'd sort of throw men forward and they'd score loads of goals, but you could hit them on the counter-attack. I think it's much harder to hit this Liverpool team on the break. And what they know they've got is just the quality in the final third, whether that's individually through somebody like Salah or the collective, to find, as we saw a lot with that set-piece goal against Man City that broke the deadlock, you know, they've got different ways to win matches, different options and variety in their attack, and they've been able to keep enough of their key players fit. So, you know, if Salah would have gone down like Saka has, you know, maybe you would be looking at something different. But I think some of that is to do with Slot's rotation. He's quite clever when he takes players out of the team. But I think it's the tempo that they play at. You know, I'm not sure that, you know, it was about this time last year, wasn't it, when Klopp's team just ran into a wall. And that's because of the amount of running that they do. And me and Dan both support Spurs, and, you know, they've had their injuries, due to the relentless pressing, really, that they try to do. And we've seen even with Man City now, just don't press. And I think that might have to come into the kind of modern game, really, where you just can't play at that full tilt for 90 minutes every week. Now, you are going to have to pick and choose when you do that, just because of the calendar. And I think Slot and Liverpool have worked that out better than most.
Yeah, well, if it is over at the top of the table, it certainly isn't behind the top two, because the battle, of course, for European places, particularly the Champions League, is well and truly on. Dan, I think it's fair to say that there's probably 8 teams involved in that battle. You go down to Villa, who are 10th with 42 points, and up to Forest, who are 3rd with 48 points. It's probably going to go right down to the wire.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's going to be lots of twists and turns, isn't there? One team I've really liked the look of recently, I think may get in there, is Brighton. I think they've looked outstanding in recent weeks, playing some really good football. Seem to have worked out a way now. So they played good football earlier in the season, but were dropping silly points against teams towards the bottom end of the table. But they just seem to now, they're working, they've got more of a winning mentality, can win games in different ways. The game against Bournemouth, they weren't, you know, completely dominant, but again, found a way to win. I think it's four wins in a row now for them. And you know, they're hitting a great run of form at a good time. And I look at the forward options they've got now. A lot of them are in form, the likes of Ruter, Mitoma, Welbeck, João Pedro coming back into it now. Minto, who I've not even mentioned. There's just, you know, they could get in it. We talk about injuries to Arsenal, but Brighton could pick a couple of injuries up there in their forward line, and they're still going to have a potent threat. So they're a dark horse I would fancy to get in there.
Okay, and then we'll just have a quick word about the relegation battle. We're speaking, of course, before the game between West Ham and Leicester on Thursday evening, but 5 points the gap now between the Foxes, Ipswich and Wolves, who are just outside the relegation zone. Mark, is it a done deal in your book?
Well, you don't ever want to say done deal, because I've liked some of what Ipswich have done this season. I mean, the other two, Southampton and Leicester, are absolutely dreadful. But that was a blow for Ipswich, you know, playing against 10 men. I know it was away to Man United, but there were 10 men for, you know, over half of the game, and you've still lost. I think that
Point would have been a decent result.
And, you know, they've conceded 3 goals, conceded 4 against Tottenham. Just feel the Wolves are better than them anyway. So, to give them a 5-point start, it does feel like it's a step too far. And that, you know, if it does happen, it'll be the another year where all 3 promoted teams have gone down. And then you look at the top end of the Championship, and then, you know, the sides there that have got the parachute payments, and that does just lend itself to, you know, to start to worry, I think, about the that gap between the Premier League and the Championship, and feels like it's getting sort of wider at the moment. And, you know, Forest, for instance, have done brilliantly, haven't they? Because they've managed to kind of bridge it and then go on and are in that Champions League race now. But let's not forget that their sort of financial fair play issues. And you know, is that a risk worth taking, that you basically have a points deduction but feel like you need to go above your limits to kind of be able to be competitive in the Premier League?
Yeah, I think we could probably talk about this for quite a while. It's maybe for another day, but certainly the Premier League will keep us entertained for the remainder of the season. We're still plenty to play for. Time now to look ahead, though, to this weekend. As I say, the FA Cup takes centre stage, and our main game, or the big match of the week, shall we say, we've selected Sunday's 4:30 clash between Manchester United and Fulham at Old Trafford. United 6-4, the draw 9-4, and Fulham around 15-8 to claim the victory here. Dan, we'll start with you with this one. I mean, more problems off the field at Manchester United this week. They did get that win eventually over Ipswich, but you know, the situation off the field certainly can't be helping what's going on the pitch as well.
No, but I mean, you know, they've shown a bit of character. That's what I would say the last two games. The 2-0 down at Everton and you know, seemingly heading for defeat, came back, you know, very strongly there to get the 2-2 draw. And then, you know, the Ipswich game to concede and to have a player sent off and then concede straight after, just before half time, going in 2-2, you know, really probably thinking at that stage, you know, every chance of sliding to defeat. And they've dug out a win. So, you know, there's a couple of decent, you know, responses there for them. And the injury situation, they've lost Dorgu, haven't they, to a suspension with his sending off. But the injury situation has been improving a little bit. Ugarte and Yoro coming back into the frame. They've beaten Fulham at home and away, you know, twice this season, already 1-0 in the league. I just think 6-4 is a little bit too big. I mean, the FA Cup for United, where they are in the league, is massive for them now. I know they're still in Europe, but I think to continue running the FA Cup's a big deal for them. They've got home advantage. Fulham have done better than them in the league. But as I said, they've lost those two tight games. And I just think at the odds, I'll be siding towards United, actually.
We'll look at Fulham in more detail in a second, Mark. But what have you made of Manchester United the last couple of weeks? I mean, there's even been murmurings as well, you know, granted it's kind of outside of Old Trafford, that maybe the hierarchy is starting to wonder whether they've made the right selection in terms of the manager.
Well, I think questions will be asked of the manager. We've got an interesting piece actually in the Racing Post newspaper on Friday. It'll be up online on sort of at some stage on Thursday, sort of afternoon or early evening, really, where Simon Giles, our data analyst, has kind of had a look at Manchester United and their results and performances since Amorim came in and basically suggesting that he's made them worse. But I think the gist of what he's saying is that what Amorim is doing is that he's prepared the short-term pain for what he hopes is long-term gain. And that, you know, Erik ten Hag never really got to grips with that. If you remember, it was only, what, two games in, he then suddenly decided they couldn't play sort of the possession football that he wanted. And they started whacking it long. And they actually got a positive result against Liverpool. But he was always kind of looking for that short-term fix, and they got it by winning a couple of cups. But Amorim, like, wants to lay kind of these foundations for the long term. But to do that, he's going to need transfer windows, and he's going to need probably a summer to work with them in pre-season. You know, the coaches just haven't had any time on the training pitch, and so it is difficult, I think, for a new manager. At some stage, United are going to have to give somebody time. But you also need to have confidence that he's the right person. And what I would say about Amorim, I thought in the first couple of press conferences he did, he was outstanding the way that he spoke. I think in more recent weeks, like, he's really blundering in the press conference. You know, he'd rather play his goalkeeping coach than Rashford. This is the worst United team he's ever seen. He had a sort of unnecessary dig at Spurs, didn't he? Saying, well, you know, I've got problems, but we're a bigger club than Tottenham. I mean, of course Man United are a bigger team than Tottenham. You don't even need to say that, do you? If you're it's almost sort of a little club syndrome when you start bringing up stuff like that. So I think he's mismanaged situations, but at some stage United need to give somebody time, because, you know, they're just going to end up in the same position, you know, this time next year with, I don't know, probably David Moyes in charge.
Well, in contrast, Fulham, of course, seem to be heading in the right direction. And we've been critical, Dan, I suppose, on a couple of occasions of, you know, teams in the Premier League and maybe higher up in the Championship not playing the strongest teams in the FA Cup. This is a real chance for Fulham, you know, to achieve something this season. They're 4 points outside the top five, and they've got this opportunity in the FA Cup as well.
It is, and he's taking it seriously, isn't he? Because he made five changes for the win at Wolves. They got the win at Wolves despite making the five changes. Left people like Anthony Robinson, among the players that were given a break. You know, he's been their ace assister, isn't he, from left back this season. I think one of the most underrated standout fullbacks in the Premier League this season. But they're doing excellent in the Premier League. One of the teams I mentioned, Brighton, they've got a chance, haven't they? Every chance for a club like Fulham at this stage of the season to actually have a shot at getting into the Champions League just shows you what a brilliant job that Marco Silva's done. And he's done it without a lot of teams that are in that fight have got star players that can just win them games on their own. I think Fulham is much more of a collaborative team effort. And again, a lot of the credit there has to go to the manager.
I'm sure there's probably a few Arsenal fans sat scratching their head about Emil Smith Rowe. That's probably for another day as well. Mark, let's give you the regulars, of course, that join us on the Racing Post Assist. We like to give a best bet for each of the games and what you're looking at here for Man United Fulham.
Well, so the prices have changed, and so we have to supply our tips earlier on. So I went for Fulham or draw double chance, but Man United have drifted to such an extent that I'm going to change it to Fulham draw no bet. But I take on board what Dan was saying about Manchester United, but my sort of case for Fulham is that United scored with their only shot on target when they did win at Craven Cottage recently. I thought they were awful in the last round against Leicester. And then when I look at Fulham, the draw at Liverpool, they've drawn at Spurs when that was sort of a good result. They've won at Forest, Newcastle, was it Chelsea that they beat? They've drawn at home to Arsenal as well when they had a number of their players back. And also the sort of calendar, I think, fits into it. As Dan was saying, rested half the team, whereas United have had to play with 10 men 24 hours later. I just wonder if that might play its part as well. So I'll go for, if you want to play it short, then Fulham or draw double chance. But given the way the prices have drifted, I'd probably play Fulham draw no bet now.
And Dan, you've alluded to the fact you think United are a big price. What are you going with here?
Yeah, I kind of gave it away, didn't I, early on. I just think, I don't think there's a big difference between the teams, and at that price with home advantage, in a big cup tie, and you've always got, I mentioned about Fulham being a collaborative effort with United, you've always got a chance of like Fernandes coming in with a flash of brilliance, to win you the game. So not with any amazing deal of confidence, but every team has their price, and I would just edge towards United.
Okay, well, let's look at the rest of the fifth round fixtures in the FA Cup now, and we'll do it in chronological order. So we'll start with Friday evening's game. It's an 8 p.m. kickoff at Villa Park as Premier League take on Championship. Aston Villa 2-9 to claim the victory. Cardiff as big as 14-1, and it's 5-1 the draw. Mark, we'll start with you with this one. Is it as straightforward as it looks on paper for Villa, or do we think they'll be pushed by Cardiff?
No, I think it should be straightforward. I watched, this was the game I chose to watch on Tuesday, the Aston Villa trip to Crystal Palace. When they equalised, I didn't see the 4-1 sort of coming, but that's the way it ended up for them. But this is a much easier game at home to a fairly poor Championship team. We've already spoken, haven't we, earlier on in the show about the difference between the Premier League and the Championship. I think Villa have got a lot of different options that they can rotate in and out of the side. And Friday is long enough before the midweek Champions League game against Club Brugge. So I'm going to go for Aston Villa to be leading half-time and full-time on the double result market.
And Dan, what about you? I mean, you'll have seen a bit of Cardiff this season. Are they capable of causing Villa some problems?
No, it's a short answer. I agree with what Mark's just said, that they are a pretty poor Championship side. Been down there struggling for most of the season. They eked out a 1-0 important win for them, actually, in midweek at home to Hull. Wasn't a great game by all accounts. They've been waiting on Aaron Ramsey to get fit for a lot of the season. He's available now, but well past his best. And I just think, I mean, the games they got through, beat two Championship teams. Sheffield United played completely, well, almost like a reserve light team, reserves and worse when they beat them at Bramall Lane. A lot of youngsters in their team. One at Stoke are also having a poor Championship season. And people will talk about, oh, will Villa rest players ahead of the Bruges game? As Mark's mentioned, there's quite a few days in between. But even if they do rest a few, I think there's every chance Cardiff will rest even more, because they're only 6 points from the relegation zone. They're at home to Burnley on the Tuesday coming up. So I think there's every chance they'll make quite a few changes as well. Villa, I mean, how do you get a bet out of this? I watch Marcus Rashford coming at half time, you know, in the game against Chelsea, and he just looks like he's re-energized now. Getting a bit of his confidence back. Made some good runs, assists with the goals, was often looking to cut in and get those shots off as well. A couple of them were blocked, but you can see he's really looking to make an impact. He came off the bench again, didn't he, against Crystal Palace. You would think this game, one of the changes will be a Rashford start. So yeah. I'm going to go at home to a poor championship team. His odds against score any time, I think that's worth taking.
Okay, let's move on to Saturday now. And we have got four FA Cup ties to look forward to on Saturday, two of which kick off early at 12:15. We'll start off with Crystal Palace against Millwall at Selhurst Park. It's fair to say, Dan, there's no love lost between these two?
No, it'd be a spicy affair. I think with Millwall as well, they do make games. Again, you've got a big gap between the Premier League and the Championship, but I do think they'll make life fairly difficult for Palace. They're a tough side to play against. Leeds made a lot of changes in the last round, but to still go to Elland Road and win there, they're not going to be kind of like they're not going to beat themselves. Millwall, they tend to be solid, well organised. Alex Neil's gone in there, he's kind of stuck with the DNA of the club, and he's got them going. Actually, they're only, I think, 6 points outside the playoff race. When he went in there, they were probably looking more at risk of getting pulled into the relegation issue. So he's had a good start there, Alex Neil. I just think Palace, though, they've really gone, been fantastic, haven't they, last couple of months in the Premier League, come away from looking in a relegation battle, absolutely comfortable down mid-table, got their big players playing well, Mateta, Saar, Walton's come back into the side playing well. They just look a good side. I think Mill will make it tough, so that feeds into the bet. I'm going to go Palace and under 3.5 goals, shade of odds on.
Okay, well, just to let you know that the outright price is Palace 3-1 on to claim the victory, 10-1 Millwall, and it's 7-2 the draw. Arguably, Mark, Palace probably could say are the informed team in the Premier League at the moment.
They'll be fancying their chances in the FA Cup. You at home to anyone left in this competition, that they certainly won't fear it, and that they're a good away side as well. So this is a excellent opportunity given the casualties already we've seen in the FA Cup for maybe it'd be Glasner dancing down the touchline like Pardew did at Wembley a few years ago. So I think there'll be more arrests than there will goals in this game. I'm going to go for Palace and under 3.5 as well. Six of Millwall's last eight games have been under 2.5 goals. So, I'd take the extra goal because of the quality of the opposition. But agree with what Dan said.
So it could be spicy at Selhurst Park. None less spicy, potentially, at Deepdale, where two Lancashire rivals meet at 12:15 on Saturday. It's Preston against Burnley. Preston 11-4, Burnley 11-10, and the draw around 9-4. One of our colleagues was telling me earlier that you have to go back to 1966 for the last time that Preston reached the quarterfinals of the FA Cup. They've won it, of course, a few times back in the day. Could they cause a bit of an upset here, Mark, do you think?
I just wonder in Preston, are they, do they talk about that more than the World Cup success of 1966? what a year for football. They could cause an upset because Burnley's attention is on, getting to the Premier League, but a makeshift team was able to win at Southampton in the last round. I'm going to go for Burnley to win, 13 clean sheets in 14. And I just looked at the, I just whizzed past that. I mean, 13 clean sheets in 14 matches is ridiculous. But I looked at the bench for the sort of last game, Clagkey, Worrell, Sarmiento, Benson, Foster, Shelvey, Brownhill, Barnes. I mean, they're sort of good championship players anyway, really. I watched a game that finished 0-0 between the two recently, and I thought that, I know it was a full-strength Burnley team that day, but I thought that they were the better side in that on another day would have won. So I'm going to go for Burnley to win, but not with any huge amount of confidence because I am expecting a chunk of changes.
Is it fair to assume, Dan, that we're probably not going to get to see a greater number of goals in this game?
I think there could be more arrests and goals in this one as well, to be honest. Both the league games have been 0-0. There was a 0-0 at Burnley. I think Preston had a I think they went down to 10 men in that game as well and got a draw 0-0 in the fixture up at Turf Moor. I think Preston played better in that game than they did in the home game. I agree with Mark. Burnley were the better team, really, in the recent game at Deepdale. But with the changes, I just think that they're both in midweek action, but Preston are in a bit of a no-man's land position, you know, at the moment in the league. They're 9 points outside the top six, 12 clear relegation. They're home to Swansea on the Tuesday. I think for Preston, I fully expect them to go full strength for this game. They've gone quite strong in previous rounds in the FA Cup. And I think against the Burnley team, they've got their trip to Cardiff on the Tuesday. I fully expect Scott Parker to make wholesale changes. So I appreciate that Burnley, the squad has got stronger. They've you know, their injury problems are cleared up. But a full strength Preston against the wholesale changes Burnley, I would side with Preston to qualify at odds against.
Okay, well, another game that looks tight on paper is at 3 o'clock on Saturday at the Vitality Stadium as Bournemouth take on Wolves. Bournemouth 3-4 to claim the victory. The visitors 16-5 and the draw is 3-1. Dan, we'll start with you with this one. I mean, you know, Wolves have done well at the Vitality recently, of course, in the Premier League. And I suppose if you're going to make a case for a little bit of an upset here, is that maybe Bournemouth are better away from home than they have been at home recently.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of people are going to look at that game, and Wolves winning there recently, and Bournemouth—they've had a bit of a dip in the league, haven't they? 3 losses in 4, but I just think that there's a danger reading too much into that. I think Bournemouth—they're only a shade of odds on here to win the game. That result that Wolves won at Bournemouth was heavily influenced by Zabanyi's red card in the first half. Wolves have picked up recently, but they're still only 5 points as we're talking. I mean, Leicester are playing tonight, you know, in their game. So, but as we're talking, they're 5 points above the relegation zone. And Bournemouth, I watched their game at Brighton on Tuesday. They lost the game 2-1, but it was quite a decent standard of game, high intensity. They're still playing real high intensity, brave football. Bournemouth Clivert scored a fantastic equaliser for them. And I still think they're playing at a good level. So at the price, yeah, there's a big, 21 points between the teams. Bournemouth, shade of odds on, fine by me.
Hello, Mark. You tipped up Bournemouth at the start of the FA Cup campaign as potential winners. Are you still confident they can go a long way?
Well, I mean, confident in as much as you would have settled for this position, you know, when it was put up at the start of the third round, because a lot of the big guns have gone out. You've got a home tie where your odds on to win, and, you know, they're sort of carried on their form. My nervousness just comes from sort of the strikers that they've still got out at the moment, and what Dan said there about like the brilliance of that Clivert goal. Like he just can't keep doing that, I suppose. And you know, scored fair few amount of penalties, Clivert, but it feels like it's like him or Semenyo has to do something really sort of special, I think, at the moment, just because of the fact that they've got their injured forwards at the moment. So in terms of the bet on them to win the cup, you'd be love to get some of them forwards back and fit and firing. But as it stands, I just thought the draw might be the way to go here, just because I'm just not sure if the Cherries are going to sort of have enough firepower to win the game. But I like what Iriola's doing, and you know, he's probably destined for. Without wishing to upset the one Bournemouth fan that probably listens, he's probably destined for bigger things, I think.
Okay, well, we'll move on now to the evening game on Saturday. A 5:45 kickoff at the Etihad for Manchester City against Plymouth. City 14-1 on to claim the victory here. Plymouth as big as 28-1, and it's 10-1 the draw. We know what Plymouth did in the last round against Liverpool, Mark. Granted, this is away from home park, but they are playing against a City team who, still at the moment, you're not entirely sure what you're going to get from them.
Yeah, but it wasn't Liverpool, was it? I mean, they were Liverpool in name, but it was name only, really. The team was probably still good enough to, you know, to get through, but it wasn't a full-strength Liverpool team. Plymouth did brilliantly, defended well when they needed to, like in that last sort of 20 minutes when it got a bit tricky for them. But as Liverpool started to bring on a couple of better players, you saw the chances that they created in that game. I think Man City will win as easy as they like. Very difficult from a betting point of view. I've gone for a 4-0. You know, they were toothless against Liverpool in their last home game. But before that, City had scored 24 goals in their six home matches. It was a kind of a game of two halves against Tottenham in midweek. They were very good in the first half, Man City. You know, had to then sort of withstand a bit of pressure, which they did in the second period. Haaland is back to fitness. And in terms of a trophy, and City will still fancy their chances in this competition, this is it for them, isn't it, in terms of a trophy? So I don't see them messing around with the team. And, I've gone 4-0. I just think City will win very comfortably.
Seems strange saying this, Dan, but Plymouth arguably have got bigger fish to fry, and they've got themselves to within 3 points potentially of safety in the Championship. And does that maybe take their eye off the ball a little bit here?
Well, I mean, I think they're going to give everything, aren't they, in this game. But I agree with Mark. I don't think it's going to kind of get them anywhere. I would mention he's done a very good job, Miron Muzlic. I mean, a lot of people were kind of completely writing them out of the race for survival there. They've only lost one of their last six Championship games, which from where they were is a great effort. I mean, there's a 5-1 win at home to Millwall in there, 2-2 a draw away to Sunderland. They're picking up some really good results in the Championship. But, the gap between... And they've had some great results, got to mention, not just the Liverpool game, but they went and won at Brentford as well, didn't they, in the third round. So they've done brilliant in the FA Cup. But City, I think if you were worried about City at all, it would have been if they were in the Champions League still and had a game to come next week. But yeah, they haven't even got a midweek game to worry about. So he's... We all know how much Pep Guardiola, loves to win a trophy. Well, this is it now, isn't it? The FA Cup this season, and I think he'll go as strong as you like. If he makes a few changes, there'll be loads of strength on the bench. Plymouth, as I say, done great so far to get this far, but huge gulf. Similar to Mark, I think it'll be a high scoring City. When I'm going to go City and over 3.5 goals at 8-11 looks a bet to me. Always a chance that Plymouth might nick a goal on the break as well to increase the chance of that bet winning.
Okay, well, that is Saturday covered. We'll move on to Sunday now. We've already looked, of course, at Man United Fulham, but there's a game at 1:45 before that, and it's at St James's Park, the all Premier League affair between Newcastle and Brighton. Newcastle around about 11-10 to claim the victory, 23-10 Brighton, and 13-5 the draw. Dan, I suppose, bearing in mind what Mark mentioned earlier on about Isak not being risked against Liverpool in midweek, and of course the EFL Cup final to come, it'd be interesting to see how Newcastle play this one.
Yeah, he's kind of managing it, isn't he, at the moment? I don't think Newcastle are far from giving up on, and trying to get a top four, top five finish. But they would have looked at the game at Liverpool. Even if you go absolute full strength, you're still probably unlikely to pick any points up. So you have got to look at kind of managing the fixture list, and their aims are going to be, can we win a couple of cups and also finish, as high as we can in the league? I think they'll probably be, if Isak's close, I can see him being involved in the game. Do I think that will mean that they win the game? I've already mentioned about Brighton. Now, how impressed I've been with them lately. I think Brighton have got... I think they'll certainly be competitive here. So Newcastle away, though, at this stage is a tough draw. I just thought that I see a close game. I couldn't believe how big the draw price was, to go into extra time. It's nearly 3-1. I thought in a game that you don't see a lot of difference between the teams, I thought that was where the value is. So I'll go for the draw and the match to go to extra time.
I was trying to wrap my brain, Mark. I think Brighton won at St James's, didn't they, season? I didn't remember Danny Welbeck getting a goal.
They did, and they got injured as well in that game. I actually watched that game. Newcastle battered Brighton, in fairness, and you couldn't believe that Brighton came away from that one with a victory. So I'm going for a Brighton win, and it's not based on the fact they've already won at St James's this season, because, like I say, that was a bit of a fluke result. But they've had an extra day of rest, which I sort of mention. I always think that it's sort of a good thing to have if you can sort of do that. And Newcastle had a tough game as well away at Anfield, but they've lost at home to Fulham and Bournemouth quite recently. They're conceding a lot of goals even when they're sort of winning, a couple against Birmingham, there's three against Forest. The performance at City when they got absolutely thumped, not great, considering Man City have had their problems in the Premier League this season. So, I just felt that Newcastle were probably more vulnerable than the price suggests. I was toying with the idea of like Brighton draw, no bet, Brighton to qualify. So I do agree with Dan that that the draw is a big runner, but I have just gone for Brighton in 90 minutes. I like the variety in their attack. And the one game where they played absolutely hopeless, I think that was on the manager at Forest when they lost 7. He just picked the wrong team with one midfielder in it. So, I think you can forgive them that.
Okay, well, as often is the case with the FA Cup these days, we're spread out across the whole weekend and we've got one more game to cover, which takes place on Monday evening, a 7:30 kickoff at the City Ground for Nottingham Forest against Ipswich. Forest 7-10 here, Ipswich 15-4 and the draw 11-4. Obviously, if you're going off league form this season, Mark, it's kind of, you would think, a no-brainer in terms of a home win. Are you thinking it could be the same again?
Yeah, I think Forest should win the game. Nuno made a lot of changes for the last round. Now, that's what I was just nervous as to what team he would pick for this game. I mean, there's a good opportunity. I mentioned a good opportunity for Bournemouth and Palace, a good opportunity for Forest as well, you know. But I did wonder whether their league position might just take priority. So I've gone for both teams to score. Before the Arsenal game, where Forest did keep a clean sheet, it was only 2 clean sheets in 8. So they had just started to lose maybe some of that defensive discipline. And the Ipswich defence has been exposed many times this season. But they scored 4 at Coventry. And they've got a lot of forward players that I think have a similar ability, like Delap's the obvious quality one. But if McKenna does decide to change it around, like Schmoddix might come in for Clark, and there's not much between those two. I think that maybe that might be one of their problems. Actually, they've got not enough players of a really high quality, but they've got a lot of players of the same quality. I think Forest will probably win, but I just prefer both teams to score.
There's probably a different train of thought here, Dan, in terms of Ipswich, is that some people will think getting a cup win will boost confidence in the league. Others will say, actually, you've got bigger things to think about in terms of trying to stay up. How do you think they'll get on?
I think they'll probably lose. I think they made a lot of changes for the game at Coventry, but as Mark's rightly said, there isn't a huge difference between Ipswich's kind of reserve 11 and their first 11. So that wouldn't concern me so much that the Ipswich are going to make, probably going to make quite a few changes. What the reason I'm going to go with Forest here is I do think Forest will go stronger than they have in the previous rounds. The game at Exeter, if that's not a warning sign when you need penalties to go through, I think Exeter were down to 10 men as well, at a point of that game. They haven't got a Premier League game until the following weekend, so you haven't got anything in midweek coming up to worry about. It's just whether he thinks the players are recovered enough from the Arsenal game. I think at the very least they'll certainly have a stronger bench than they had at Exeter. And I just think that they are better defensively than Ipswich, and they carry threats going forward. And I think that better defence that they've got will be key to them winning the game. I think Forest to win for me.
OK, well, that's the FA Cup fifth round covered. Up next, it's the EFL.
Do you want football free bets? All the best offers from your favourite bookmakers can be found in one place. Check out racingpost.com/free-bets to find out more. Racing Post, stay ahead of the field.
So our EFL match in focus this week is in League One. We've already mentioned there's a couple of cracking games in the FA Cup early on Saturday, but there's also one in League One as well, because the top two meet at St Andrews as Birmingham and Wickham go head-to-head at 12:30. Birmingham 7-10 to claim the victory here. It's 4-1 for second place Wickham and 27-10 the draw. I mean, these two, as I say, first and second down in League One at the moment. Two teams, though, with very different budgets and going about things in a different way, and both have impressed in different ways.
Yeah, I mean, Wickham have done fantastically well, haven't they? Right from the start of the season under Matt Bloomfield, Mike Dodds has then come in when he Luton came in for him, and they've still continued to perform at a high standard. The top scorer, had a spell out injured, Richard Coney, who's been key for them. He's recently come back, though, so he'll be involved in this game, probably be ready to start again. However, they have gone off the ball a little bit the last few games. They've had 3 draws in their last 4 games. A 0-0 at home to Wigan last weekend, which sounded like they didn't create many chances in that game. And when you go into Birmingham, which is, without doubt, probably one of the toughest away games any League One team will ever face. They're the biggest budget of all time. It's been mentioned many times in League One. Still unbeaten at home. They got 13 wins and 3 draws. They had the midweek game, which Wickham didn't have, but it was made easier for them because Leighton Orient went down to 10 men after 12 minutes of that game. Curry got, the left back got sent off. So they've had a cruise there, really, cruise to a 2-0 win. Wouldn't have taken a great deal out of them. And I just think, recently, I was doing a game, match in focus, Leeds and Sunderland. Leeds were 8-15 and I went for the draw. There was a 7-point gap between then teams going into the game. This match, you've got a 9-point gap between the teams, and Birmingham have got a game in hand. So, and they're quite a bit of a bigger price than Leeds were for that game. So if you follow that train of thought, I just think with the massive home advantage, and they are, you know, a stronger squad, stronger team, go for just Birmingham to win the game. 7-10 looks fair enough to me.
Yeah, unbeaten in the last 5, Birmingham, and looking like they're heading straight back to the Championship. Should be a cracking game, though, with another brilliant atmosphere at St Andrews. Time now for Dan's EFL selections for the weekend. Dan always gives us, of course, 3 tips to look out for. And what's the first of those 3 this week, Dan?
I'm going to start off in League One with Stevenage draw no bet at home to Huddersfield. Now, you might think, are we getting to the stage of the season where you want to be backing teams that have got more to play for? But I think it's a little bit too early for that. Everyone's still got, you know, something on the line. And Stevenage is quite a tricky place to go. 8 of their 12 league wins have come at home. They've been on a bit of a dodgy run, but got a nice 1-0 win away to Shrewsbury last weekend. But the main reason for this bet is kind of an anti-Huddersfield bet, really. Got injuries have been piling up for Huddersfield recently. I think they've lost 5 of their last 8 games. They lost 2-1 away to Wigan on the Tuesday. I think they only had one recognised centre-back. Nigel Longwhite was fit to play in that game. So they've got big issues in defence. And I think Stevenage, although they're not a fantastic side, with that, you know, strong home record, odds against draw no bet, go with that. Sticking with League One, going to go with another draw no bet. Charlton draw no bet to win away to Leighton Orient. I mentioned Leighton Orient, you know, getting that player sent off, Curry, in the midweek game at Birmingham. I mean, that is a tough ask to go to Birmingham and play with 10 men for that amount of time. There's going to be some tired legs there in that Orient team. You're playing against the Charlton team, one of the few teams in League One that have been, you could say, as good as Leighton Orient over the last couple of months has been Charlton, who have gone from sort of like mid to lower to mid table straight into that playoff race. They're level with points on Orient now and played a game less. Very different style of play. Nathan Jones likes to play a lot more direct than Richie Wellens does for Orient. But I just think with the fatigue in that Orient setup at the moment, go with Charlton on the draw, no bet. Finally, going to drop into League Two. Bradford going for promotion, second in League Two. Back them just to win away to ninth place Salford. I mean, Bradford been known for their home form this season, haven't they? But they're starting to do the business on the road now as well. Got a great 1-0 win away to Bromley that was well deserved on Tuesday. And although this is an away game, they're going to take a massive away following there. Sold out away end at Salford, who have had a lot of injuries recently and have struggled since the 8-0 defeat at Manchester City. Only had 1 win in 8, dropped out of the, you know, outside of the playoffs now. So it's a good time to play Salford, who have also got lots of injuries as well. So Bradford to win this one.
Yeah, it does look like finally Bradford might be getting themselves out of that bottom tier of the EFL. So just to remind you, the EFL selections for Dan this week, 2 draw no bets. They are Stevenage and Charlton, and Bradford are the third suggestion. Mark's turn now, and his bet builder to start off with. And what game are we looking at here, Mark, for your bet builder?
We're going to South London for the dust-up between Crystal Palace and Millwall. We'll start with, one of the more obvious selections, which is Crystal Palace to win the game. You know, flying in the Premier League at the moment, you know, destroyed Aston Villa, those 3 second-half goals on Tuesday. And the gap between Premier League and Championship is significant. The Palace have got a lot of players that have caught the eye, but Munoz, the right wing back, I'm going for him to have a shot on target. Gets forward a lot, and you'd expect against a Championship team, you know, him to get even more license to get forward in support of Saar down that right hand side. He's had a shot on target in 3 of his last 4 games. You know, this is sort of one of the more easier games on his recent appearance list as well. So, and the fact that Millwall probably defend deep as well, you know, Palace might need to take their shots from distance. And then to complete the bet builder, which comes in about 10-1, it's Tanganga to be booked for Millwall. A very aggressive centre-back. He's been one of the best defenders in the Championship this season. He's been linked with a move, you know, returned back to the Premier League. And you can understand why, really. He's got excellent physicality. Maybe the reason he's not in the Premier League is what he lacks on the ball. But that clash with Mateta, likely to be, you know, quite aggressive, I would have thought, really. And he was sent off at Selhurst Park previously as well.
Yeah, it's almost like a heavyweight contest between those two. I saw Tanganga in a game at Oxford earlier in the season, and he was really impressive on that occasion as well. So that is Mark's bet builder for this week in the FA Cup clash between Crystal Palace and Millwall. You've also got a prop shop selection for us as well, Mark.
Yeah, I wonder if the prop shop might be a third delivery item to come through the door while I'm on this video. Yeah, probably about fives on, even though there's a couple of minutes left. But I'm going to, he's already been mentioned, actually, but I thought Marcus Rashford at 9-2 to score first for Aston Villa against Cardiff was a lively runner. He's all over set pieces at the moment in terms of the free kicks. And I wondered whether he might play through the middle. Could be an opportunity to give Watkins a rest, even if he's out on the left. You know, he's somebody that is a threat. I think Unai Emery has woken him up from his United slumber. He's got a point to prove against a fairly average Championship team, and one that's conceded a lot of goals. Even when they got through against Stoke, they conceded three. They conceded seven at Leeds pretty recently. So, yeah, Rashford at 9-2 to score the opening goal on Friday night.
OK, well, a big heads up to the three that stepped in for us guys last week, because Tom McGarry, Jack Ogilvy and Aaron Ashley came up with an 11-1 winner for the assist treble last week. So massive kudos to them. We've got to try and follow in their footsteps, guys, this week for the assist treble. Dan, we'll start with your pick first.
Yeah, pressure's on. I'm going to go with Forest against Ipswich. Mentioned earlier, I think they got the 1-0 win at home to Ipswich back in November in the league. I think since then, Ipswich were looking quite competitive at the time, but they've kind of regressed since then. Forest have been superb since then. We were wondering at the time, are they going to be able to stay up there? And they've been even better. So, I think they'll play a stronger team than they have in the previous rounds, and Forest to win the game.
OK, and Mark, who are you going for this week?
I'm playing it fairly safe, actually. I'm going for a shorty at home, but it's Juventus to beat Verona in Serie A. Now, Juventus were knocked out of the Italian Cup in midweek. A sort of blow, really, to their hopes of winning silverware this season, because it's just not going to happen. But the main sort of thing for them is to try to qualify for the Champions League. They have won five of their last six in Serie A, and that includes a very impressive victory over Inter, where they had eight shots on target to Inter's two. And Verona, although they're sort of mid-table-ish in Serie A, 14th, they're bottom three on expected goal difference, which suggests that they're the kind of getting away with it a bit to be as high up in the table. So Juve to join Charles's tip there of Nottingham Forest.
I've got a bit of a disclaimer, because I was thinking about taking Bradford to beat Salford. I have to say I strongly fancy the Bantams to win, but I didn't want to tread on Dan's toes or his coattails. So I've gone instead, again, another League Two game. I've gone with Harrogate to beat Accrington at 27-20. It is 21st against 20th in League Two. Both of these two teams still in danger of the drop, the level on points, but Harrogate are unbeaten in four at home, and that includes wins over the likes of Swindon and Cheltenham in recent weeks. Accrington have won three of the last 10 on the road, and they did win at Tranmere last week, but Tranmere have since, of course, sacked their manager, Nigel Adkins, and it does show you that Tranmere are on a really poor run at the moment. They lost 2-1 at Weatherby Road against Harrogate last season as well. And Harrogate tend to bounce back really well. I've seen quite a lot of them this season, and off the back of a 2-0 defeat at Bromley last week, where they certainly had their chances to score as well, I think they could claim the victory at 27-20. And I'll actually be going to that game first-hand action as well. So Nottingham Forest, Juventus and Harrogate are the treble this week for the assist. And we'll conclude this week's show with the naps from Dan and Mark. And Mark, we'll start with your nap first.
Yeah, I don't like the FA Cup really as a sort of betting kind of coupon, really. So I'm going to go into League Two for Notts County, draw no bet at Fleetwood. Notts County have only lost two of their last 13 matches in League Two. That was 2-1 against Wolves, who are the leaders, and 1-0 at Port Vale, who scored with their only shot on target, actually, in that game. Now, Notts were poor last week against Tranmere, but their extra quality up front sort of paid in the end, and they still managed to get the victory. They probably need to step up on their performance away to Fleetwood, but they're more than capable. They're 4-5 draw, no bet, which I thought was more than fair.
Yeah, definitely. And I think, Dan, it's safe to say that you'll be heading with somebody that we've mentioned a couple of times already.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the one that you nearly went with on the treble. Going to go with Bradford away to Salford. I just think Bradford they're really flying at the moment. I mean, even in the recent the semi-final of the EFL Trophy away to Birmingham, gave Birmingham a really good game. You know, in a 2-1 loss at St Andrews. I mean, if you can compete with Birmingham, you certainly should be, you know, too strong for injury hit Salford, who, as I mentioned earlier, have only won one of their last 8 games.
OK, well, my thanks to both Mark and Dan once again for their input this week. Don't forget, of course, to like, subscribe and comment on the Racing Post YouTube channel. And if you like your golf, of course, the Sweet Spot every Tuesday with Steve Palmer is in red hot form in 2025. Make sure that you join him, of course, every Tuesday with Dave Clark on that. And we'll be back on Monday for a Champions League special. It's the last 16 ties, including, of course, the Madrid derby and PSG against Liverpool. In the meantime, enjoy your football this weekend, and please remember to gamble responsibly.